5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Black Minecraft Podcast, where we bring to you guys all things Black Minecraft, including diversity and representation talks, a little bit of members-only content, and also just regular Minecraft and a little bit of gaming content from time to time. Here we have an episode that is dedicated to you guys getting to know another member of Black Minecraft. We do have today with us Draco, aka Draco Bat. Okay, there's more on that story on the Draco Bat. So what's up, Draco? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me. I'm a little nervous.
And I do want to say thank you so much to all of the Patreon supporters. If it was not for you, we would not be able to have this awesome podcast with it being ad-free. Do be sure to check on the Patreon this upcoming week. We do have some news for you guys. I also wanted to release some exclusive news pertaining to Minecraft Live, but I can't legally, so I will not give you guys that exclusive news until I can legally. But yeah, so today we are going to be talking with Draco all about Black Minecraft and some other things. So I hope you guys do enjoy the episode. Let's get started. So Draco, first and foremost, what is a Draco Bat? Explain.
A Draco Bat. So Draco and Bat, it's Draco as in dragon. People think I'm talking about Harry Potter when I say Draco, but no, it's Draco, dragon, and Bat is Bat. It's two of my favorite animals. So I just put it together and just kind of thought of it on a whim. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then I just had like a character in mind, like me myself, like my PNG VTuber I use when I'm streaming is supposed to be an original character I thought of and I got commissioned, and a Draco, like a bat and a dragon together.
Yeah. Ooh, so you sound very spicy. That sounds like a lot of fun. So with commission, so you do art?
I personally do art. I'm trying to just experiment and learn more about it. I've taken a couple art classes when I was in college, but mostly I try to look towards my friend who, and even my sister, they're all a lot better than me, so I'm trying to learn from them. And I recently even got a drawing, digital drawing pad, so I can start maybe streaming, learning how to do digital art. I think that would be kind of cool. I don't know. But I'm learning, but usually I get stuff commissioned if I can. If I'm trying to, like, help, you know, smaller companies and smaller people, you know, who are a lot better at the content than me.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. So you are a part of Black Minecraft. Not only are you in the... not only are you in the server, in the Java server, but you are also a part of, I guess a part of our official esports team. Can I call that an esport? I'm calling that esport.
So. Yeah, esport. Yeah, for sure. Official esport
team. Right. Wouldn't it be esport? We're competitive. Right?
We finally have an official esport competitive team that's here just for fun, I guess.
I don't think it might not just be for fun. We don't know.
We're training. We're getting better for sure. I'm decent at parkour now, I think. So fairly decent. Kind of cracked. I don't know.
So what is it like being a part of, what is it like being a part of Black Minecraft?
To be honest, I was very nervous going in because I've never really done, SMPs before in general. So, and I think Black Minecraft is like the main SMP that I'm mostly stream and mostly go on, because I just enjoy the people and just like the environment. Everyone's really nice and really lifts each other up. And I think it's an organization that's very, very organized. So it has a, and we, you give us resources to do a lot of things that we haven't get to try, like, you know, going on the MCC tournament we went on, and just trying out different things. I never got to do that outside of this organization. So I think it's very, an organization that helps Black people, POC, gamers, have a platform, I guess, more of a platform and lots of opportunities. And it's really been helpful, and it's been really fun too. But so I just want to thank you for that, because I was like, I wasn't expecting even to get in, to be honest. I'm going to be honest on that one. But I'm glad.
Why does everybody keep saying that they never expect to get in? Like, I feel so bad every time somebody says that. I'm like, what? No.
No, because I had my fair share of applying for SMPs. I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm going to be honest. A lot of the SMPs are made by younger people, like 16, 15, even 14, you know? So they, I guess, don't want to play with a 23-year-old, which is right. Understandable, I guess. So I'm like, I'm kind of glad that I'm around people closer to my age, or just like people I can look up to that's been doing this longer than me. And that's one of the reasons why I think I don't get into a lot of SMPs is my age. Hopefully it's not because of my race, because not a lot of SMPs are very diverse nowadays. So, but I'm glad I got in, because that was my last shot, honestly, because I was like kind of getting tired of getting rejected. I'm going to be honest.
Oh my gosh, that is... I don't know, that's really different. Like, I personally never really, like, I've never really applied for an SMP before. I've personally applied to very little things, only because usually they are either ran by somebody who I know doesn't like me, or there is no diversity, and due to the lack of diversity, it's just very weird. Now, I applied to one SMP around the time of my birthday, and so did, I saw some other people also apply to it, and it seemed like they didn't have any black people to get into the SMP. I actually messaged a few people. I messaged a few people that were black that I saw that had said something on the post about applying. So it was just really, really, really strange that I don't know. Like, I couldn't imagine actually going through the process of applying to multiple SMPs and not getting in. You know how mad I would get? I literally would start messaging all those fools. Like, hey, yo, why didn't I get it? No, because it's very questionable as far as why you don't get into certain things, because it's kind of like, okay, if I did everything you guys wanted me to do, you know, what makes somebody else a better candidate to get in? Is it because they had better production value on their application? Did they say the right things? What can I do to actually improve my chances of getting in? Now, there are some people who have applied to Black Minecraft. I haven't given them a reason why they haven't gotten in, but I mean, just by how they put some stuff on their application, they should understand why. Like, if you understand what the point of the S&P is, for you to then come out the side of your face and say something wild about black people on an application, why would I let you in? Like, that doesn't deserve an explanation, you know? Yeah. But it really would have been nice if you could have gotten a better, like, a better reasoning as to why you weren't able to get in.
Like, it would, I do agree, it would have been nice, but I kind of just figured that, you know, S&P, like, there's a lot of S&Ps being, like, brought up now. I think it's just, like, a popular thing, and a lot of, like, most of them are just for fun. A lot of them is because they want clout, and a lot of them is, they say they're for smaller streamers, but then they don't bring in smaller streamers to the S&P. It's mostly just their friends. Like, if you're going to do that, to say it's invite only, you know? But, like, as a smaller streamer, someone who's just only started seriously streaming in, like, July of this year, I think it's because of my lack of experience, I guess, because Minecraft, I haven't been playing Minecraft as long as others, but I've been watching, I watch people more than I play Minecraft, mostly, over the years, because I didn't have enough money to get the game at the time, like, years ago when it came out, so I just watched people play, and so, but now that I wanted to be more serious about the game, I started maybe like a year or two ago, and I was like, oh, maybe I should try for S&Ps. But like, it's like job applications when they say, if it's your first job and asking for what experience you have, what am I supposed to put down? Because I haven't done this before. Like, I mean, I'm trying to gain the experience to be, and that's being the S&P. Like, I can put down this down as experience if I'm accepted. And I felt the application as professional as I can, so I know it's nothing that I said personally on the application, because I know my application is probably even better than some of the people who got in. I'm not trying to be conceited or anything, but like, I know that for a fact, but like, you know, it is what it is. But I'm just happy to be in an S&P that actually acknowledges all their members and is nice and gives us opportunities to do lots of things. I'm like, I'm just like, I haven't, like, being in tournaments and trying after tournaments as nothing I didn't think that would be possible for me, with, like, I'm not even close. I don't even have 100 followers on my Twitch channel yet, because I started out. But, like, I've done more in my gaming career in the past couple months than I ever thought. And I'm like, dang, this is great. It's awesome. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I mean, I just try to, like, I don't really care about people's channel sizes at all. You'd even have to be a content creator to even join in. I just had to make sure that in some way, shape, form, or fashion, I could verify that you weren't a troll. And if you were Black or POC, that would have been great. Like, you know, that's basically
Grand
things. It's just like, listen, you don't have to create content. Hey, if you're Black or POC, yay, we're here for you. If you're not, you can still join too. But we're mainly trying to focus on Black and POC. So, I mean, it's really great that, like, at least I know that I'm doing what I can and that people appreciate it, because it is somewhat, you know, it can be very intimidating if this is your first major go around and you do get in and it's like, okay, I'm in, but I really don't have a lot of followers, so can I actually be effective? I know that that's like that. That's sometimes my question when I get when I really think about the Minecraft space, is that a lot of people have been playing this game since like 2012, and I've only been playing for 3 years. So it's kind of like, am I actually going to have somewhat of an impact, being that I don't know all the game mechanics, nor do I barely care, but you know, I don't know all this stuff that a lot of people have been knowing for like years on end. So it's like, do I actually have a place? So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just hard to, especially streaming now, since streaming has gotten more popular over quarantine and stuff. People who want to stream, it's kind of hard to get your foot in there, because, you know, there's already people who've been, like you said, doing it for like years on end. So it's like, it's hard to gain a following, but you know, it is possible. You just have to keep at it. And even though I do get discouraged very quickly sometimes, I'm still trying to be as consistent as possible.
Oh yeah. So when it comes down to diversity and inclusion, where do you actually see yourself in this space?
That's a funny story. I still feel like I'm not as included as I could be. Being like, I check off a lot of boxes, like being neurodivergent, being Black, being in the LGBT community. Just check off a lot of boxes and stuff. So it's even with LGBT streamers being more, I guess there's more of us now, I still feel like I'm not really included in that space. I'm trying to be included in that space, but it's hard to be included when Twitch itself, I don't know if like the Twitch tube everything, like I personally, before I got affiliate, I did get bot rated. And it's hard because the hashtags that I use, like the LGBT hashtag or like the Black hashtag or stuff like that, I use them to, you know, get on the recommended page or get like, you know, more viewers in. But sometimes I can't even use that anymore because that's how they find you. And that's how they, you know, choose who they want to bot raid and stuff like that. So when I got bot raided, I had to clear out over 200 bots by myself. Because they were calling me slurs in the chat, telling me to, you know, KMS and stuff like that. And, you know, it's stuff like that. It's something, stuff I have to worry about every single day. And and it's funny because people say, oh, just play ads. Well, I'm like, well, I don't get as many viewers as other people, you know? And, like, sometimes it's only maybe 10 or maybe 5 people in my, you know, watching, and not all of them are subs. If I play ads, it's like, what's the point, you know? So, and I got bot rated before I got affiliate, and it's just little things like that that I try to speak out on, but even within my own community, people are not listening. So I'm trying my best to reach out to people who are more like me, and so I can, they can have a streamer they can watch that is, you know, like them. And but I still feel like I could be more included in this space, that makes sense, because I still feel like it's mostly predominantly like white gays or white, you know, lesbians, white, you know, they're speaking for all of us. I'm like, no, I mean, you guys can still, you're still not as, I don't want to play the oppression Olympics or something, but like, you're still not, don't get as much hate as I do on a daily. Right. So that's all I have to say on that.
I mean, you really have to be honest about it. Like, okay, so Kanye West said it best, and I'm not going to say the N-word because I don't say the N-word, but in one of his songs, he did say, you're still the N-word in a coop. And basically what that means is that it doesn't matter what you do in life. It doesn't matter how far you go. It doesn't matter what marginalized communities you fall under. At the end of the day, when you're Black before you are anything else. You're Black before you're even a human. So if they even choose to even look at you as a human. So no, you're correct. It's not, it's nothing bad to say. It's just being honest is that if you are Black and you are LGBTQ plus and you are and you fall under the neurodivergent, like it's, you're still Black before anything else. So when it comes down to LGBTQ, like, you're still Black. Okay, so yeah, you may be LGBTQ. The only time that they ever even feel like Black people are even welcomed in this space, to be honest, and yeah, I might catch some heat for saying this, but the only time you guys are ever fully like welcomed into that space is during June, during the month of June, when all of a sudden everybody decides, you know, when everybody decides, oh, it's all about love and all that stuff. To be honest with you, sometimes June feels kind of semi-performative on that aspect, because I'm like, I see you guys highlighting the Black people within the spectrums, but you guys are, it's basically like Black History Month, but LGBTQ centered.
Yeah.
That's what, like, before and after, it's not there.
Exactly. That's what I totally agree with, because I don't know. I always say this, people get mad when people, there's like an important hashtag or something like trending. I'm just going to use Black Lives Matter as an example, because that's easy for me to explain. But like Black Lives Matter, people were like, oh, you should be talking about anything else but this. I'm like, well, that sounds very performative, because Black Lives Matter is like a daily thing. It's not just like, it wasn't just last year or like, you know, in the summer of this past year. It wasn't just like that time to talk about it and stop talking about it after that. It's a daily thing. You can integrate it in your own personal lives. And I feel like these months, like Black History Month or June, you know, for like LGBT community, like people, they poster things and say, I did my job, I'm done. I'm like, well, no, you should still talk about the issues and struggles we, or if you want to help or be an ally or something, like if you want to, you know, talk about it, you can still talk about it every single day, or when, not just that month. I don't know. It's like those kind of things kind of just bother me. Like, you can do both simultaneously. You can talk about what you want on Twitter or whatever, or in your space on Twitch, whatever, but you can also talk about important issues, and those two can go hand in hand, I think. That's why I don't know. But this bothers me when people talk about it that single moment and then stop. Like, or we tweet a couple of things, and they did their work, and like they washed their hands clean, and then they go back to talking about, I don't know what, like GMSP or something. I don't know. It's annoying.
I mean, it's really crazy. So I'm putting up this text, and for you, for those of you guys who do not remember this, I don't know if I could give you guys the full backstory of how this came to be, but for those of you guys who do not remember, last year for Juneteenth, Minecraft decided to go ahead and do this whole thing where they were actually going to be donating to Black Lives Matter, the Equal Justice Initiative, and the NAACP. Legal Defense Fund, all right? So to give you guys some background story on it, and I could only talk about the part I could only talk about, but I was part of the reason why that happened. Because somebody who had worked at the company at that time, I'm not going to say any names, but shoot, they might not even listen to the podcast because, oh God. Anyways, not going to say any names, but they had asked me what Minecraft could do for the Black community. All right. So I'm going to read to you what this said, and then I'm going to ask you some questions after it. All right. So this comes from the desk of Minecraft. And mind you guys, I love Minecraft. Okay. It says, we stand in unwavering support of the Black community, denouncing the racism, oppression, and suffering endured by so many for too long. As a team, we have been listening, learning, and considering how we can contribute to the powerful movements pushing for equality and justice in the U.S. and around the world, because Black Lives Matter. In commemoration of Juneteenth, this Friday, June 19th, 2020, we will be donating profits from digital storefront sales of of Minecraft and Minecraft Dungeons, as well as purchases of content in the Minecraft Marketplace made from 12 a.m. Pacific time to 11:59 p.m. Pacific time to the following organizations: Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation, Equal Justice Initiative, and NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. Thanks to help from partners such as Amazon, who have waived their royalty fees, these donations will go even further. Then after that, they have the links to all those organizations. So hearing that, how do you feel? Like, do you feel like after hearing that, do you feel like just based upon the things that you see from Minecraft, either before or after, do you feel like Black people are honestly welcomed in the Minecraft space? Like to be honest.
Absolutely not. I don't know. I can count on my hand how many big Minecraft streamers I can name that people actually know. And it's just in general, after, like, it just sounds so, like you said, performative. Like, it sounds so fake. Like, I know it is, because they're just, like, putting up a face. Like, oh, here's our message for this month, for Juneteenth, and then we're going to donate this, and then, like, okay, bye. Like, I don't know. It's just, like, and even not just, like, that message, just, like, over the years, I just haven't seen many Black Minecraft streamers that get the attention they deserve. I don't know how much I just don't know what to say, how I can stress this enough, that like you need to support your Black streamers, period. Like, people keep asking for diversity. People keep asking for certain things, and I can name a Black streamer that fits that box or fits that category for them. But I don't know what else that do we have to like beg on our knees to be included in everything. Like, it's just so, I don't know. It's honestly kind of, it's tiring, because it's just the same thing over and over again, and we're not asking for much, honestly.
Right.
Like, it's literally the bare minimum. I don't know. It just gets me every time. Like, it really just gets me every time. Oh, God. but yeah, I don't feel like we're included as much as we can. That's all I'm going to say. I keep rambling on and on, but like...
No, you're listening. For real. You're fine, because honestly, like, people need to realize how stressful this topic is. It's stressful, yeah. Because it's stupid. This is the dumbest thing that we ever have to talk about, because it makes no sense. Like, we're sitting here year after year, and last year being one of the worst years of this, because it was a endless amount of performative activity going on. We've literally just been sitting here like, yo, if we have to explain to you guys this one more time, like, I'm going to be honest with you. There have been several times where I have considered whether or not physical violence needs to be had on somebody over this, because I'm like, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. So but it is very stressful. And you know, for those of you guys who are listening, I do appreciate it. It's a very stressful topic for a lot of us. So if you guys are listening and you guys are not Black, you haven't had to deal with this conversation, it may be different for you guys. You guys might be tired of it, tired of hearing it, but we're tired of living it.
Yeah, amen.
Like,
hey, freaking men.
It's very easy to say, oh God, I'm tired of hearing this, you know, and deciding to mute people on Twitter, deciding to block out certain things. But when you're Black, even if you do all the blocking that you want, you're still living it.
Exactly. Like, if you have the privilege to mute a certain like issue on Twitter, then it's obviously you have more privilege than me, because I have to live that every single day. Like, I'm like, after I got bot raided, I was kind of nervous to go back to streaming, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna let these dumb bots stop me from streaming. I have to be more careful. But okay, I'm gonna, this is one very famous white Minecraft streamer. I don't want to name drop, but he said something that really pissed me off, and it was when he said, it was when everyone was taking a day off Twitch on September 1st, because of everything that's been happening to marginalized communities on Twitch, mm-hmm. and he is white. He gets maybe 1,000 viewers every single stream, and he said that, he said that us taking a day off Twitch isn't going to help anything. And he said that it's not going to hurt Twitch's income. Just play ads, we could get bot rated. And like, it's just very like speaking from a place of privilege. And of course, his fans or his followers and like viewers ate that up. Which his viewers are mainly predominantly white cis men. And I was like, dude, I don't have the privilege to even say those things or think those things because first of all, I'm smaller than you. Second, not everybody can play ads. And fourth, like, I don't know. It's just like when people don't hear the words that come out of their mouth, especially when they're not black. And I'm like, y'all, I don't have the privilege to do those things. And I have to live this every single day. And it's just tiring. Like, I can't just mute stuff and, like, go on my way because I'm going to see it regardless, you know? So I'm like, streamers, like, I wish people, like, bigger streamers were just, I just wish they would use their platforms to give other people voices to speak instead of speaking for us or over us, because that's very annoying, because I don't know, it's just, and it's like, I don't know how we can change that, because I really don't know how we can change that, that's what I'm going to say, because, I mean, they're going to have their platforms which is going to be bigger than us. Bigger than ours, but I'm hoping I can get to that one day so I can use my platform for something, you know, good and stuff and talk about serious issues. But I don't think enough streamers talk about these issues because every movement starts with very small. I think off Twitch, maybe it's not like, you know, the most impactful thing, but it's a start, you know? And all these movements that happen, all these hashtags that happen, all these movements, they start with something small. And we have to be, like, joined together. Not just the people getting affected, but the people who aren't getting affected, too. Because nothing's going to change if we don't work together.
Right. And speaking of platform, can you tell us more about what your content is about? What type of content you make, regardless of whether or not it's live stream, like, you know, just tell us more about your content.
Okay, so to be honest, when I started out streaming, I wasn't sure, like, what content I was gonna make. I didn't think I was, like, good enough to just do just chatting streams, but mostly nowadays I do just chatting streams. I do, like, watch parties. I mainly stream Hypixel and, like, the Black S&P, like, Minecraft stuff. I also do a lot of indie games. I like playing indie games and, like, seeing, like, this branching out. I do Valorant, Overwatch. I do, sometimes Among Us. I don't know if it's that popular anymore. I don't know. I just like playing different variety games. Like, I guess I can consider myself a variety streamer. I don't know, that kind of dabbles in everything. I try to, the thing with me is I get bored really easily. So I kind of jump from game to game within stream after I play a certain, up to a certain point. So I'll just like playing different games, trying new things. I might not be good at it, you know, but I just think it's entertaining to see me fail. I don't know. It's funny. I the content, but I just like dabbling in everything. I'm trying to branch out to doing like maybe a face cam one day, webcam, drawing. I want to try cosplay, like in real life streams. I want to try that sometimes. I like to collab with people if I can. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to do it all, you know, if I can. Or I'm trying.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff. Like, so, like, how did you really get into creating content? Or, like, what made you, like, what made you decide that that's something that you, like, actually wanted to do?
I think over the years, like, I just felt like it was something I was trying to work towards. Like, this past, like, maybe a year or two, I'm trying to save up for, you know, a PC, a working PC. I'm, like, doing, like, lots of different jobs. I just, like, I love gaming, playing games in general. I like talking about games. It's, like, I don't know. I used to play a lot of Wii and Xbox and, like, DS and, like, Switch and stuff when I was younger. And I would watch a lot of streamers on, like, YouTube and, like, Twitch over the years. I was, like, that's something I really wanted to do. It just seems kind of, like, it seems fun. I just enjoy just relaxing, playing games, and just having, talking to people. Maybe it means like have it through a screen. I just love gaming, and I'm hopefully to get like do this hopefully full time if I can. But you know, still gotta work that 9 to 5. But hopefully eventually I can get to that point. And I just look up to a lot of certain people. Like recently, I've been look up to Tina Kitten. She's like someone I watch a lot, and I kind of enjoy her streams and kind of just like watch her grow over the years, and that's something I want to strive towards.
That's very interesting. See, I don't know, like I consider myself still new to content creation. Yeah. I've been doing it for 3 years, but like a lot of people, well, I consider myself new to the gaming side because a lot of people have been watching people game for years. Like I have not been watching other people game. I'm going to be honest with you. I am very bad at watching gaming streams. Honestly, it's like I don't know if I find them boring. Okay. Minecraft, yes, I find boring. That's just me. Like, it's like, because it's like, I want to play so much. I've never been the type to ask people, oh, can I play in their stream, though? So, like, to get out of asking that, I just won't watch. Because I think it's so cringe when people sit in the stream all day and say, can I play? Can I play? Plus, I'm, like, close to 30. So... So I'm like, I don't have time for this. Like, so I won't watch a lot of streams. Like, I might, like, go in and say hey and, like, maybe have it on in the background. But I can't watch, too, because I'll be like, can I play? And if they tell me no.
Yeah, my attention span sometimes is a little short. So I have to have it on the background doing something else because... I don't know. It depends on who it is. It depends on the game and who it is, to be honest.
That's funny. So, like, I mean, I think it's really cool, though, that you spent your time watching content and then now you're making content.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
Like, yeah, it took a couple years or a long time, but it's cool to get like just get started. It might not be perfect, have the perfect setup or you know, perfect equipment or something, but at least I'm doing it because I put it off for a long time because I'm like I get really nervous just like talking for a long time. Like I'm even nervous now just talking because I'm not very good at social social stuff. So like I don't know. I was like when I stream, I'm like, what am I supposed to talk about? Like I get really like, anal about like what am I supposed to do? Like I don't know. I get kind of nervous and stuff. But then I relax into it sometimes. But after I get over that fear of that, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do it and just put it out there. It may not be perfect or good, but at least it's something I wanted to do for a long time. So I'm just happy that I'm actually. Got to that point because I honestly thought I wasn't going to.
So do you remember what your first stream was like?
My first stream, oh god, it was like, okay, it was back in like July, like end of July. It was just like a test stream, so I wanted to see everything worked, you know? So I just put on some, I was only going to stream for like hour, 30 minutes tops. Because I was like, I'm just testing out, you know? I ended up streaming for like 3-4 hours. I don't know how, but I just played solitaire. I'm not even joking. I played solitaire. It's basically a just chatting stream that I watched from YouTube. I did some Minecraft. It was just a lot of different things just to see if like everything worked. And I was nervous, very nervous. And I got more viewers than I thought I was going to, because I just like my very first stream. But it was very nerve wracking. But like after I streamed, I'm like, okay, I want to do this again. I want to keep doing this because it was very fun. And after I got over that hump of just being terrified of talking for a long time, I'm like, okay, it's actually not as bad as I thought. it was good and bad. It started out bad, but then got better and very good to end.
Like that is actually really cool though. Like, I mean, wow. So look at that. You are a whole entire all-star because, I mean, at least you kept going.
Yeah. I was like, dang, I'm going streaming for 3 hours. Like, I was talking about nothing, basically. Just talking about random things, playing freaking solitaire. I don't know why people watch me play solitaire. But I was like, it was like an easy thing just to pull up really quick. I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I just hope I can do this for as long as I can, hopefully.
You know, I low-key wish that that you could play, even though it's called solitaire, I low-key wish that you could play it, like, against other people.
Yeah, I wish. I really do. Solitaire is honestly the one game I'm actually good at, but it's, like, kind of boring content, to be honest. But it's really fun for me.
I think it's good, especially if they beat it, and then you hear the shuffling, like,
towards the end.
And then you see the thing. Yeah, I mean, hey, it's good. I think I could watch that more so than watching Free Cell, because Free Cell gets boring.
Oh, Free Cell is so, it's like the one, I can only play Free Cell on easy. Anything higher than that, I get stuck. So I'm like, no. I wanted to try out chess too, because I was trying to learn chess. And that'd be pretty cool to play against people. Yeah, but, you know, I feel like I should play like more of those like chill games once I get a better following, because nobody wants to see me play chess or solitaire at like now. I think they mostly people watch it from Minecraft. Yeah, that's true though. That is true, but I don't know. I'll see.
Like, you know, you would really be surprised, especially like on a little like Sunday afternoon and stuff like that. Like people are chilling. So let's just be honest. When you really think about the amount of people who yell in their stream all day, who are very high intensity, most of them take the Sunday off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I thought it was because they all needed Jesus and they all needed to go to church. But then I started realizing that they realized that their content may not be really wanted on a Sunday for a moment. They need a chance to cool down. You know, their audience needs a chance to cool down. So they start doing, like, you know, some chill stuff. Or they just don't go live on a Sunday. Like, I really had to, like, honestly think about it one day. I was like, you know, I thought it was really great. I was like, oh, my God, everybody takes the Sunday off. This is cool because I really love church. Like, I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And then I really realized that, nah, I know why you guys are doing this. You guys are being strategic. But, you know, like, a good old Sunday might be a great time for you to go ahead and experiment with some chill content. Because Minecraft can be chill, but it could also get very intense. But, like, you know, just as simple as solitaire, chess, even just going on creative mode, you know, and just doing pixel art or something like that, you know, that, I mean, hey.
True. People, I did want to start getting better at streaming. Yeah, that's true. That's also true, though. You're definitely right, because I'm not the type of person who like yells at my screen constantly, like people usually do, like during games and stuff. Like I'll talk back and stuff, whatever. But I'm usually just, when I'm playing games on my own, I'm gonna be honest, I'm dead silent. I'm just playing the game.
Right.
So it's hard for me to like talk and play at the same time. Especially like I'm getting used to it a little better, but like sometimes it's kind of hard for me to like, I don't know, do like parkour and then make a conversation and chat. So I'm like, I'm working on it though. But I'm not gonna start like yelling and being like raging or something. But I'm not that type of person.
That's funny. That's actually really interesting. So when it comes down to you deciding to create content, like when you're done creating your content, when your content is done, you're done for the day, you're done for the night, you're just good. Or maybe the day that you take off, like what else can you be found doing?
Okay, so I do stream really at night. So if I'm streaming really at night, I'll be probably either sleeping or I'll be reading. I like to read a lot. I like to write. My days off, I'll be chilling, watching, like, I'm very big on horror films, just films in general, so I watch a lot of, like, films and Netflix and stuff. I collect a lot of movies and stuff, and it's collecting in general. I like playing my instruments on my days off. It's very relaxing to me, I think. And I'll be drawing or working on, like, watching, like, YouTube tutorials on, like, digital art, or I'll just be getting better at, you know, my hobbies. Or I like skateboarding too. I like the skateboard, so I'll be skateboarding, or I'll just be playing with my dog, honestly. Mostly just my dog. So I don't go out much unless she needs to go on a walk or something, so I'll be playing with her. Those are the type of things I usually like to do off stream. But I'm very like introverted, so I like doing stuff like indoors.
So what is your favorite movie?
That's so okay. That is hard. That is so hard. I could tell you what franchises I like. I'm very big on Marvel, so I collect all the Marvel movies on
DVD. You have to pick a favorite movie. One favorite movie. If you were to get stranded on an island with nothing but, for whatever reason, nothing but a TV and a DVD player or a VHS.
VHS? Okay, let me think. Jesus, why you gotta pick all these hard questions? I really do enjoy The Lost Boys, the vampire movie. I don't know if you heard of it.
I have not, but tell me what it's about.
It's about this family moves to this part of California, and the older brother gets really into this girl, but she is a vampire. I guess she was told by her the other vampire guys to lure him in and turn him, so he gets turned into a vampire. And his younger brother joins forces with these two other boys he meets in the town, and they are trying the best they can to turn back his brother from being a vampire. It's very good soundtrack. Very good soundtrack, actually. That's pretty much the one reason why I like it. And I think it was an 80s movie. I think it's an 80s horror movie. Yeah, I'm really big on 80s horror movies in general. So, yeah, I can watch that, like, every other day. Also, I've seen another movie, The Goonies. I like The Goonies a lot. So, yeah, I'm very dated when it comes to seeing things. I'm not very up to date on, like, you know, when it comes to music, I like dated music or like very old music or 80s rock, 80s music, like metal and stuff like that. I'm not up to date with whoever's out currently. Movies wise, only thing I'm up to date on other than that, I'm like, I'm watching all these. I still watch stuff in VHS. I still collect vinyls and stuff like that. So I'm like, I like very older things.
Right. So interesting thing, because I did look up The Lost Boys. They actually are remaking it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm excited. Okay, so you are excited. I'm not a fan yet, so I don't know if I could be excited or not. There's a black guy in it that looks like a decent human.
But the thing of like nowadays is all the remakes of movies, of like older, especially horror movies, that people like to remake it. Like the Chucky franchise are remaking a TV show. And stuff, and they're remaking like the Halloween movies, they're remaking a new one. Like, there's a lot of remakes. Like, especially I like remakes, I like to see new ideas, you know, like new content. So, like, I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of a lot of remakes. The only reason why is because, like, nowadays, I don't want to see TikTok stars in a darn movie. Like,
you're talking about
them seriously.
Yeah. What was that one movie that came out? Was it He's All That? Is She's All That? The remake to that?
Yeah.
It was on Netflix. From TikTok star. And I was like, ooh.
Like,
oh no.
Like, because if they start doing some very lazy TikTok dancing, I'm going to lose it. It's going to be like, I rebuke thee. But that is actually really cool. We might need to have like a cinematography podcast show. Now, I'm not big on a lot of horrors, but I do love movies from 1899, because there is a movie I have watched from 1899. Nobody tell me that I did not watch this. Thanks. All the way up into the 80s. I like that. Now, mind you, I love horror films from the 1930s because they were not as scary and you could see the strings. Like, I like being able to see the strings so I know it's not real.
If you're not too big on big scary things, I would watch a lot, mostly 80s horror movies. Like, it's like a little bit more scarier than like the 1930s movies, whatever, but like it's not as scary as, you know, today, you know.
Yeah, and so the 70s horror movies were actually really more like for whatever reason in the 70s they started getting into psychological thrillers. This movie, I believe it was in the 1970s, it's called Baby. It is a horror movie. Oh. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. I have.
My it's gosh. Crazy. It's weird. Yo, that movie is so strange that it's scary. But it's also interesting to see what was considered horror back in those days, because some of the things that were considered horror were more of people discriminating against people. Yeah. Like, there are so many horror movies that if you actually sat down and watched it, you would see that the horror was that the black man survived at the end. Like the horror was not necessarily everything else. Like, it was Night of the Living Dead. Was that a 60s or 70s?
I watched that. That was...
It was 1968.
Right,
before the 70s. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. The horror was that the black man survived at the end and they didn't know whether or not to kill him. That was the horror. Like, the whole time there were zombies killing people, but that was the horror.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we might have to come out with the Black Minecraft Cinematography podcast episode where we review some movies.
Candyman. They actually, I don't know if you know, follow bloody disgusting. They're like, are really big on like reporting about horror stuff, and they did like a watch. I should have done it yesterday. It wasn't fun, but it was. They did a viewing under live TV of the new Candyman movie that came out. Oh, that's pretty cool. We should do stuff like that. Like
how movie, I mean, like, movie. How did they think of the how did they think of it? Like, did they think it was good?
Oh, yeah. Everyone actually said that. I watched it. I thought it was good. I think it was one of the better remakes of, or I guess renditions of, like, the, you know, the older one. Because usually, sometimes horror movies don't live up to the the original. Sometimes, most of the time. But I thought it was actually pretty interesting, very creepy. Actually, very good. A lot better than I thought it was going to be honest. But yeah, I recommend that one. But that's a little bit more scary if you're not to the gun, like jump scares and stuff. Right. I would recommend it though. Yeah, but it was very good.
Right. Now, have you since you liked the Candyman remake, which, if I'm not mistaken, that is one that was recreated by Jordan Peele, right? He did that one. You ever seen the movie The People Under the Stairs?
Yeah. Yeah, that was so cool.
See, I've been campaigning for like a good 3 or 4 years for him to remake that.
Yes, that would be so, oh my god, that'd be so cool. I'm just thinking about it now.
I mean, no, like, I'm so hyped about it because that's another one of those movies that the horror was the discrimination because it was so crazy. Yeah, that movie was nuts so crazy. It was scary. The first time I was actually ever introduced to it was on BET. The whole entire time, though, like in the beginning, I was trying to figure out why was this listed as a horror movie. But then you see a bunch of white people doing some weird stuff, and you're like, "Yo, that's the horror! I know the horror now."
Sorry.
No. That's true. So it was just really cray cray.
Yeah, it was very like creepy in the sense of like weird and twisted, but it was, I would actually love to see that remade. That'd be so cool.
I'm looking at an article right now, so maybe he might be thinking about producing it. Actually, so this is actually dated November 2nd. And guys, everyone listening, yeah, I know. We just went. I don't care. Movie time. Okay. So I don't know. It looks like that he is set to produce a remake of it. I don't know. Listen, the validity of some articles, we don't know. Because, you know, sometimes people write a whole entire article on a website that is definitely not true, but it sounds like it is true. So, I mean, I don't know. It says that he is set to do it. And I don't know. Like, if this is something that is real, this is on the Regal website, so the people who have the movie theaters. If this is something that's actually coming into fruition, like, I would definitely love to do a review on it when it hits, because the People Under the Stairs, if you guys have not seen that movie, just go ahead and Google it and look to see where you guys could actually watch it at. But it's a very, very twisted story that will probably make you watch it at least like two more times after that to finally, like, because the first time you're looking for the jump scares, you're looking for this, that, and the third, whatever, but then you might only grasp the meaning at the end, so you have to rewatch it. This is definitely a movie that you need to rewatch. It's a really, really, really great movie, and it's a movie that was semi pivotal in the black community in the early 90s. We really have not had enough black representation in the horror scene, unless we die first. So it's gotten better over the years, but this was actually a movie that had a different type of fate for the black people inside of a horror movie. So it was really good. I strongly recommend. Okay. Yeah, me and Draco might need to have some movie
podcast episodes. I'm ready.
it might really have to be a thing here, because I'm here for it. So I'm actually kind of hyped.
I got movies to talk for days. I can talk for days about movies.
Like I have a long repertoire when it comes down to movie dissertations of all sorts. I don't know. We don't know what may come of this, because I'm excited now. You know. I don't know. Isn't it called being a cinephile? I'm always scared whenever "file" is at the end of a name of a word, because I'm like, what am I saying? Yeah. I'm actually kind of happy now. I'm excited. I'm really excited. Okay, so back to our main things that we're supposed to be talking about. Hopefully you guys stayed tuned through the whole entire thing. So when it comes down to you actually creating your content, what are some things that you want to see come about with your content in the future?
That's a very interesting question. Let's see. I would like to I was like, just to be a streamer that is very true to themselves and their content. It's not fake, and like anything they do, I just like just to reach out to people, and they can like just know when they're watching my content or in my chat that it's a. I know this is very like mushy, but like very like a safe place for people, especially just like. A black community, LGBT community, like, I just want it to be a safe space for people. I want to hopefully do, like, just grow as a content creator, just, like, not just in numbers, but, like, just branching out, like collaborating with people. So I want to, like, maybe collab with people that I never thought I would be collabing with. Like, just streamers that I watch, one day I would, if that ever comes up, I would love to collab with them. The main thing for me is providing for myself, obviously, financially, and just for like my family financially. I would hope that I can grow big enough to just make an income that would help me, a stable income. I know people say that streaming is like a fake job, and playing games on stream is like a fake job, but like, if I'm getting paid doing it, I don't think it's very fake, you know? And it might not be something for everyone, but it's something that I've been working hard towards. And honestly, it was just like a lot of my goals have been like dreams of mine that I'm slowly putting into action. So I think that since I got past the first step, I'm just hoping that I can grow with my content and grow as a person, and hopefully just be the best I could be or can be.
That's really good. So what streamers or other content creators would you like to partner with?
Partner with?
Like, you know, okay, like collaborations with and stuff.
Yeah, I would love to collaborate with anyone from 100 Thieves. I love 100 Thieves so much, honestly. Like, the content that they make is just really good, and it's one of my dreams. So I don't know if it ever happened. I don't know about that, but like, I really want to collab with Ray. She seems like a very good content creator. Tina Kitten, And I just, like, I mostly want to focus on collabing with more well-known, smaller streamers, like, Ray, or, like, Mincecrafts, or Minceleaves, and stuff like that. They're mostly playing Minecraft, but, because I just want to get better at certain games. I want to collab with people who, you know, are a lot better than me at those games, so I can, like, learn from them. There's a lot of people that I want to collab with. I don't know if I can name them all, but those are mostly the main organizations and people I would like to collab with. And I'm always open to collab with any Black streamer. Bruleezy would be honestly the best collab ever. I love him. That'd be a very cool collab. I'm just thinking about it now. Like, any, like, he likes playing horror games a lot, so it'd be nice to pick a horror game with him. Just chill. I don't know. That'd be like the dream. It's a dream. But hopefully one day I can work towards that. It's gonna take a while, but like I'm willing to put in the work, so hopefully one day.
What do you think you would have to do in order to collaborate with them?
That's a good question. I honestly would have to be, I think the main thing collaborating with these type of people is having the platform to do it on, and like just being honestly as very low as this is, just to be a bigger content creator, because nobody's gonna collaborate with, like, most of the time people don't collaborate with smaller streamers, right. But I would think I would have to grow big enough to the point like, hey, this person seems to be growing, you know, steadily and stuff like that. Maybe they seem like, and hopefully they would see my content in some way. I mean, I could always reach out to people, but like, I don't know why when I reach out to people, I feel like a bother, or like annoying. So, I don't know. I would think once I get to the point where I feel comfortable, I can start reaching out to people. I would probably have to do that first, because I don't know if they would come to me ever. So hopefully when I get a big enough platform to do that, I think that's when I can start even thinking about collaborating with those type of people. In my opinion, that's what I think.
Okay, well, huh. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it sounds good. We'll figure it out, I guess. Okay. I'm just saying. I mean, because if that's your goal, guess you just gotta figure it out. So we're putting it out to the universe. Draco wants to collab with a bunch of people from 100 Thieves. I don't know anybody's name in 100 Thieves, but you know, hey Drake, yo, cause listen, Drake, you know I love you, right? So I mean, a part of 100? Does he like own them or something, or he's a part of them, or he did something with them? So Drake, you too,
Drake?
You count. So you know, I mean, who knows? But what if it starts off with Drake playing with us in the server, and then he gets 100 used to play with us? I know that might be going backwards, because Drake would be like high top celebrity. Even
I mean, if that's what you want, then I mean, you can manifest that, I guess.
I mean, that would be great, right? Because see, you get your 100 Thieves fix, okay? I just want my Drake fix. That's it. You could hang out with the 100 Thieves. Isn't he something with the 100 Thieves? Watch me be saying the wrong people.
No, yeah, Nate. I forgot his last name, but he's the one who started 100 Thieves. I don't think Drake has anything to do with
it. Wait, no, he does. Drake, an American entrepreneur, record executive and investor Scooter Braun became co-owners of 100 Thieves in October 2018. The company was originally founded by Matthew Nadeshot. Oh, Nate! I know the Nadeshot guy. I watch his... Yeah. He did something on E3, I think. The previous year, okay. Drake congratulates 100 Thieves victory at CWL London. Yes! See, so...
I didn't even know that.
See, you don't even know about your own people. See, look!
No! I didn't know they even, like, co-owned that. I was just talking to see, I was just surprised it was just Nate alone, to be honest.
No, I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought he just hung out with them. I didn't know he actually owned the whole thing. But yes, look at that. Yes. See, I'm telling you, so all we need to do is get Drake on board. They come with
Drake. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
They come with Drake.
Yeah, they do. And then we get the rest of OVO to come in. Look, we're so Black Minecraft is taking over the music industry. See? You like to play your music and all that stuff. I'm trying to think big picture. Okay? Yes.
You slowed down a
so
bit.
Look for it. Okay, 2022 Draco Bat with Drake. Oh, that would be amazing.
I
and
mean,
then
that,
be like,
I mean,
like the little tag could be Drake with the Draco. Look at that! I'm making music tags. I am here for it. And I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you though. Like, I think that there needs to be more music collaborations between hip hop, R&B, rap, and all that stuff, and Black content creators. So I don't see why the heck not. Like, we're the ones who listen to the music a lot and everything like that. I don't really see enough music, Black music, Black and POC, you know, musical artists, music producers, beat makers and stuff like that. I don't really see them really working a lot directly and in connection with Black content creators. The most that I really do see, of course, would have to be T-Pain. Working with people like Big Cheese and everything like that, but like you don't really see enough artists actually working with Black content creators. So
that's very true. You know. It'd be really nice to see.
Right.
I don't know. See? It's just
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess get it done.
Drake, here we come. I guess.
Yeah. Look, you could get it done. Like I feel like, why not? Because, I mean, to be honest with you, first and foremost, 100 Thieves just did some Minecraft thing today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Drake low-key, high-key knows he wants to play Minecraft. He knows he wants to. He knows he wants to play it with me. He knows that. He knows this. I know this. The world knows this. He just needs to get with the program. So he could come along, come onto our servers. Drake, we have both a Bedrock and a Java server, so you pick your poison. So he could come in. He could play with us. Because he's not fully familiar with Minecraft, he could have some people from 100 Thieves come with him onto the server. Right? And we could have a Black Minecraft Drake 100 Thieves collaboration.
Yo, that would kind of be sick. That'd be yes. Dope, actually.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't listened to his music in a hot minute, but.
What?
See, yeah, okay, but that'd be
man, cool. look, you're trying to lower our chances. You're trying to lower our chances.
And then be honest. Gonna be honest here. Give me the buck.
Stream certified lover boy things. Okay, I just put in a thing for that. All right, you know. But where can everyone find your content at?
Okay, twitch.tv/JacobAt66. Twitter Twitter is Draco Bat. Also, that's my main like content creator Twitter, and Instagram Draco Bat _.
All right.
Oh wait, the TikTok is Draco Bat too. Oh my god. Sorry. Anyways, that's it.
So all of Draco's links are going to be put under the description or in the description. Sorry. They're going to be put inside of the description, regardless of whether or not the description is above, on the side, down below, or for whatever reason in the middle of the I don't know wherever you guys listen to your podcast at. Of course, the Black Minecraft podcast can be found on all major podcast websites. So I think we're on about 7 or 8 websites. So you guys should be listening to us somewhere. And yeah, I just want to say thank you guys so much for everyone who continued to listen, regardless of whether or not you guys like Minecraft, like music, like movies. I really do appreciate you guys for listening. And I keep on accidentally just saying Black Minecraft versus Minecraft, that like I stay on brand even when I'm just trying to talk about regular Minecraft. That's how serious I get, you know? But I really just do appreciate it. You guys are always more than welcome to reach out. If you guys have any questions, you could always hashtag Black Minecraft or hashtag Ask Black Minecraft on Twitter. And I have been periodically checking those hashtags. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow the Black Minecraft Twitter account at _BlackMinecraft. We'll have all the extra links down below. But I just want to say thank you guys so much and have a nice night, day, afternoon, tea, whatever it is you guys are doing and whatever time it is that you guys are listening to this podcast. I truly do appreciate it. And we will talk to you guys later. Bye.